Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of a very practical series, Education from the Bible. We've called it Lessons for Life. Today, the church as a place of learning. You say, Derek, church is just something I'm supposed to do once a week. No, church can be a place where we can learn how to love as Jesus did, learn to reflect the light of Jesus, learn to be disciples, learn more of God's life-changing truth. We're going to discover that this is a great blessing when we find church as God intends. So I'm glad you're with us for our study today. And welcome to our team. Here we are again, the faithful few during this pandemic. People write to us and say, we miss the other seven. And I would say we miss the other seven too. But we're praying this pandemic would be over soon. But God is working in this series in spite of the restrictions due to the global health pandemic. We're glad that you're able to join us. Hopefully you don't have to be wearing a mask while you're with us. But we're glad that you write to us as well, sshope, hopetv.org. We've got a few emails. We're always so encouraged. We get excited when we hear from you. Here's a note from Jerry in Madagascar. It's a big joy for me and my family during this lockdown period, health pandemic, to follow together this Hope Sabbath School program every Sabbath in the morning. My wife and I were not Adventist members, but according to the will of the Holy Spirit, we believe firmly we have become part of the Heavenly Association.
Amen.
We really enjoy this weekly program because it makes our faith stronger and the knowledge of the Word of God grow. We also study English at home, so this program helps us to improve our ability. Thanks so much. May God bless always this program for the glory of His name.
Amen.
Well, Jerry, thanks for writing to us from the beautiful island of Madagascar. We're glad God is working in your heart. C.H., just the initials. C.H. writes to us from North Carolina in the United States and says, I'm a Baptist by faith and have been watching Hope Sabbath School for almost a year. Your in-depth study of the Bible has really been a godsend for me.
Amen.
It's enabled me to really understand and apply God's words to my daily living as well as my ministering to others. I will say, keep up the good work, and God bless you.
Amen.
And we'd say, C.H., God bless you too, brother in Christ. We're so glad that you're being blessed by God through the ministry of Hope Sabbath School. Runyararo writes from Zimbabwe, Runyararo, and says, I watch Hope Sabbath School with my children. The lessons bring me closer to God.
Amen.
Continue working for God. Well, thanks for writing. We have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members there in Zimbabwe. And let your light shine for Jesus. Well, here's a note from my home country. You know, I'm a citizen of the United States of America now, but my home is the United Kingdom. I might even put on a British accent as I read the email. Actually, it was a letter. The donors write from England and say, we are pleased to donate toward your ministry. We are very thankful that the Lord is using Hope Sabbath School to minister in over 200 countries. We are blessed to watch Hope Sabbath School every week.
Amen.
And we are donating £3,000 and pray the Lord will continue to use your ministry.
Amen.
Some of you Googled and said, how much is £3,000? It's about $4,000. And I just want to say a big thank you, not because it's a big amount, though thank you for partnering with us in ministry, but a big thank you that you say, I want to be a part of God's miracle in sharing the good news of salvation with the world. So to the donor couple in England, thank you for your generous support, and to all of our donors. HopeTV.org/donate. We can all partner together to be part of this great miracle of God. That's encouraging, isn't it? Well, I think I've got one more email here. This one's from the Philippines. Debbie writes from the Philippines. Kim, do you have family in the Philippines? That's your home. But you were born here in the U.S.?
That's correct.
All right. Well, this is from Debbie. Let's give Debbie a wave then. Ever since I discovered Hope Sabbath School, I would always allot time to view your program. I'm so blessed by the ideas, understanding the Bible passages, and elaborating the explanation of the Bible study. I equip myself through what you've imparted for our Sabbath School study every Sabbath in our church.
Amen.
That's awesome, isn't it? Thank you so much. It's a great opportunity to watch Hope Sabbath School here in the Philippines. Well, Debbie, thanks for writing to us. Over 200 countries. We have actually a Hope Channel in the Philippines. It's very active, Hope Channel Philippines. So we're just so thankful that you're hearing the Word of God in a life-changing way. Right now, we're going to sing a song, our theme song. It's taken from Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. We're talking about education from the Word of God. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Let's sing it together.
Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. You may be wise in your latter days.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can listen to counsel from your word. Today, as we talk about the church as a place of learning, that it can actually be a place where our lives continue to be transformed by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would bless each Hope Sabbath School member, including our team here in the studio, as we reflect on the church as a place of learning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, what we've been studying about in Lessons for Life, I think the most important lesson I've been learning is that I want to learn to love as God loves. I want to love Him with all my heart and to love those around me. And we're going to begin our study today talking about learning to love as Jesus loved in the church. That's one of the reasons that the church exists. John 13 and verse 34. Kim, would you begin our study today? A famous word from Jesus, John 13 and verse 34.
Sure, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another.
Now, someone might say, well, that's not new. It says in the book of Leviticus that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Yeah. What was new about this commandment, though? Look at the wording carefully. Jason?
The part, as I have loved you, so following Jesus' example.
Jesus, and he uses this agape, this self-sacrificing love. Yeah. Yes. So love as I have loved you is the commandment. In fact, we'll discover that that is the sign. Maybe I should ask you, Kim, to read on one more verse, if you would, in John 13 and verse 35.
Sure, and this is from the English Standard Version. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
So if the church isn't a place where we learn to love as Jesus loved, something's wrong, right?
Yeah, right?
What did Jesus say in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39? And then we'll go to a story that Jesus taught about love in action. Jason, if you have that for us, Matthew 22, Jesus summarizes what's most important in the commandments. What does he say?
I've got the New King James Version here. Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
So we're talking about the church as a place of learning how to love as Jesus did. Jesus told a story recorded in Luke 10. I think Luke's the only one that records it, Sabina. But in Luke chapter 10, he tells a story, maybe a parable, but some say, no, I think it really happened. And he's basically saying, here's an illustration. Oh, I'd never thought of this before, of the church failing to love. And yet someone loves as Jesus loved. Let's look at the story in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37.
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it says, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down to the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by one on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise.
All right. So what do the priest and the Levite have in common? Several things. What do they have in common?
They're religious leaders.
Ah, yeah. They're church leaders. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes. That's one thing they have in common. We're talking about the church where we learned to love as Jesus did. Doesn't happen here, right? What else do they have in common?
They are familiar with the law.
They're familiar with the law. By the way, the law said we should love our neighbor as ourselves in Leviticus 19. Yeah. What else do they have in common?
Well, considering like they're following the laws of Moses, and so they're probably Jews.
Okay. Well, yeah. All right. So they're of the same ethnic group, right? Religious group.
Yeah. Yes.
What else do they have in common? Very obvious from the story.
And the story in specific?
Yes.
They refuse to help.
They refuse to show love.
Exactly.
One, you might say, well, at least the Levites stopped and thought about it, but then said no.
Yeah.
But they have this in common. Here we see the church leaders failing.
Wow.
But one man stops. And by the way, the church, the folk who are listening don't even want to mention that he's a Samaritan.
Yeah.
He was the unlikely one, and yet he stops. Mm-hmm. And what is the takeaway from the story? What does Jesus say?
I mean,
go and love like he did.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go and love like the Samaritan.
Yeah.
Right? Go and love as he loved. Mm-hmm. So where do you see that fleshed out? Where do you see that actually happening? And then I want to ask you if you've seen it in your experience. You might say, Derek, I want to tell you a time when the church didn't love me mm-hmm. like Jesus mm-hmm. loves. We probably have some of those too. But yeah. can you think of some stories in the early Christian church where you say, ah, that's it. That's reflecting the love of Jesus. Mm. Anybody think of one? Yes, Samisa.
Think about Acts 4 after the Pentecost and mm-hmm. when they were gathered in one accord and how they gave such that no one was in need.
Would you read that passage for us? I think in Acts 4, let's read verses 32 to 35. Motivated by love. Again, it's not trying to buy their way to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've got a relationship with their Savior, and they're loving like Jesus. How does it read there in your Bible, Acts 4, 32 to 35?
Reading from the New King James Version, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone amongst them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they were distributed to each as anyone had need."
Mm. That's kind of a dangerous thing. I mean, don't you think people would take advantage of that kind of generosity? Mm. Are there any checks and balances in there that you see? So, because later, Paul will say, if you don't work, you can't eat,
yeah.
mm-hmm. right? So where are the checks and balances in that story that people don't just come and say, well, I'll take some money from you? Jason?
Well, one says laid them at the apostles' feet. So the apostles were involved with distributing. There was some kind of leadership, some kind of organization for how this process was going on. And these are people who are anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom,
yeah. mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so God is guiding in that process, but it's very, yeah. it's a loving community, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yes.
Sabina?
It also says on verse 32 that they all were in one heart and one mind.
One heart.
So I think this probably helped also to keep situation in check.
Mm-hmm. Great illustration. Mm-hmm. You say, wow, what would it look like today mm-hmm. if we saw that kind of self-sacrificing love? Mm. What would that look like? Can you think of another story? There's probably many mm-hmm. where you see love, the church loving like Jesus loved. Mm. Anyone?
Well, I think of Dorcas, the story of Dorcas in Acts 9.
Would you read that for us, Shana, in Acts 9? Verse 36 to 39, Dorcas, you know, there are some churches that they have a society or a group called the Dorcas. They name it after this lady. Mm-hmm. People say, I don't know what they do there, but who was she? And the answer is, she was someone who loved like Jesus loved, right?
Yes.
How did she show her love, Shana? How does it read in your Bible?
I'm reading Acts 9, verse 36 to 39 from the King James Version. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, and whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them."
Wow. By the way, what can you learn from all the people who are weeping?
She was in the community.
Yes, they
cared for her.
There was a loving community there. And how does it describe those people who were weeping? They were widows,
They were widows,
So her ministry was to show the love of Jesus to
widows.
Those in need, right? Maybe there were some others besides widows. But that was her ministry, and that was a loving community. Now, she gets raised from the dead, not because she made the coats, right? But because, why did Peter raise her from the dead? Lots of people died and stayed dead waiting, Jesus said, until the resurrection at the end, right? Why do you think, Jason, Peter raised this godly woman from the dead?
It may have been that he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, knew that she was needed in this community particularly, and there may not have been someone to do her role, and so she had to be alive for this, for her ministry to take place and these people to get the help they needed.
I think that's a safe answer. The Holy Spirit knew. And Peter's guided by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, he is.
Sabina?
The text even says that right after resurrecting her, he takes her by hand and help her to her feet. And then he called the believers, especially the widows. So I think he had in mind, because God impressed him, the importance that she had in that community.
Because she was reflecting the love of Jesus in the community.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about today. How can our churches be like that? Christian churches be places that love like Jesus loves. Yes, Shana.
Well, if we consider the fact that the church is not necessarily a building, but, you know, each individual person makes up the church,
right.
It starts from each person learning how to love like Jesus, and then the body will be able to make impacts in our communities.
So you would say, start loving like Jesus yourself?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't Jesus say,
important.
Go and do likewise?
Yeah. Yes.
So start loving like Jesus yourself, and hopefully it will be contagious. People may join. Sabina?
And just by taking the example of what the early church did through Dorcas and also the people who were sharing their belongings, I think that one of the things that we can do concretely is look at people's felt needs. You know, look around in our community, even among our church family, and see what is it that people are in need of. Is there anything that I can do to alleviate their pain, to help them in school or help their family? So that's something we can do.
And for the widows, apparently, I could really use a coat.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And Dorcas says, I could make that.
Yeah.
I could do something to really meet that need, right?
Yes.
If we just took that one lesson, we're talking about the church as a place of learning, that God desires that in the church we learn to love as Jesus loved. Mm-hmm. And it may be through hearing the story of the Samaritan or a testimony of somebody, a modern Dorcas, right?
Yes.
Sharing what she's been doing. I remember I was in Australia, and members of a little church said, we make promise boxes, and we put Bible promises, but because of the computer, you can do search and replace. Every promise would have Kim's name on it, or Samisa's name, or Shana's, or Jason, or Sabina's name. So it would say, fear not, Samisa, for I am with you. But when they gave it to John, it would say, fear not, John, fear not, Susan. They had given away 1,500 promise boxes in their little community.
Wow.
I thought, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, maybe somewhere else there were seamstresses who could make, but they could make promise boxes.
Mm-hmm.
We can all do something to reflect the love of Jesus.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to the second way that we can learn, and that is to reflect, learning to reflect the light of Jesus. John chapter 1 verses 6 through 9 talks about the light, and John the Baptist is speaking here. Samisa, would you read the first verses 6 through 9 of John chapter 1?
Sure, I'm reading from the New King James Version, John chapter 1 verse 6 to 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world.
And that true light was
Jesus.
Well, just go over to John chapter 8, verse 12, and we'll find the answer to the question. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Kim, what is I gave it away. What does Jesus say? John 8 and verse 12.
I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Now, I want you to notice the second half of the verse, because we're talking about reflecting the light of Jesus, learning how to do that in church. Mm-hmm. What does Jesus say in the text? Not only I'm the light of the world, but
whoever follows me.
Whoever follows me will what?
Not walk in darkness, but shall also have that light.
Now have that light. Mm-hmm. Does that remind you of another teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? You remember that? Matthew chapter 5?
You're the light of the world.
You're the light of the world, Samisa. Yeah. Could you read that for us? You say, wait a minute, Jesus, you're the light of the world. What do you mean I'm the light of the world? Yeah. Well, let's see what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16.
Verses 14 through 16 from the New King James Version. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
That's where we got the little song, This Little Light of Mine, right?
Yes.
Jesus is the light of the world. How is it possible that we could be the light of the world? There's only one way. What is it? Jason?
Jesus has to be in us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The light of Jesus in us by the Holy Spirit shines out from us.
Right.
And people see not our light, but
His light.
And they give glory not to us,
but to God.
But to our Father in heaven. They see the light of Jesus shining out of us.
Beautiful.
When did you first learn that Jesus wanted His light to shine through you to others? Sabina?
Yeah, I'm thinking here, I had experiences as a child and even growing up, but there was one situation in my life where I really learned the importance of letting Jesus' light shining through us. And that's when I was living in Uganda a few years ago, and I visited a church that was in the city of Gulu, that's in the bushes of Uganda. And there was this church, they built a community to take care of orphans and widows. Mm-hmm. And they were doing that after buying a land that once had been the stronghold of the Lord's Resistance Army, which is considered a terrorist group that was killing and, you know, making children, taking them and kidnapping them to be children soldiers. And for me, it was very powerful to see how that church community had been able to switch around the situation and even had bought that land that represented, you know, darkness and sadness and death, and bringing it to be something that shines the light of Jesus. So for me, it was so impactful, and I thought, Lord, please use me this way also. I want to be able to change some community. I want to be able to change my family, people around me this way, because it was powerful. It was really beautiful.
Now that's a powerful testimony that Sabina felt a stronger, I think you wanted the light of Jesus to shine through you before, but a stronger desire to let the light of Jesus shine through you because of what you saw.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Taking over a terrorist territory.
Yes.
And having a place that cares for widows and orphans. So
powerful.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody else? Where did you kind of realize it's not just about trying to stay out of trouble till Jesus comes, but actually letting His light shine through you? Anybody? Kim?
Sure. So I went to a non-Christian university, and just looking around me, I saw students who were depressed and addicted to drugs and alcohol. They're going through their own struggles. And I saw that Jesus could really use His light to help give me the words to speak to my friends who were going through hard times.
So how did you do that?
I made sure I was in His Word.
Okay.
Yes. And just prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to inspire me to share a word with them.
And while Kim was sharing, maybe Samisa could see, the folks in the back couldn't, but she was smiling. Mm-hmm. Because a smile is a powerful witness, isn't it? Mm.
Yes.
When I come not frowning, condemning somebody, you know, well, you've got a big problem with blah, 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 you know, this, and this. But saying, I just want the light of Jesus to dispel some darkness here.
Yeah.
I remember a time I walked into a dorm room and I could literally feel the darkness.
Wow.
Have you ever felt the darkness?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not talking about the light isn't on. Mm. You feel darkness there. Mm. And that's where you need to call out to Jesus.
Yes.
And say, Jesus, be here and let your light shine through me. Because we cannot dispel darkness, right? Mm. But Jesus can. Anybody else? Maybe you sense a way that Jesus is calling you even now to dispel darkness.
Yeah.
Shana?
Well, this was a couple years ago. I went to visit some friends in Boston, in Massachusetts. And before I was in the mindset of staying out of trouble till Jesus comes.
Rather than letting his light just shine out.
Shine through me. And that church, it was the Sabbath, and the church decided that instead of having service, we were going to go out into the community and meet the needs. So there were different groups. There was one group that went to a nursing home. The group that I was with went to a specific spot in the middle of Boston to see the homeless population, and had care packages and food. And I saw an overdose happen in the middle of the day.
Wow.
And that shook me. And my friend Billy actually was with me, and he was like, you need to do more. Like, if this is shaking you up, then you have to be more impactful and be more intentional about being a light, because there's so many more people that are lost and that are like this. And so that was actually a wake-up moment for me, that from then on, all the moves that I've made in my life have been to ensure that, like, I'm being a light wherever I go.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. By the way, they didn't cancel church that day, did they?
No.
They had church.
They took church outside.
Yes. Yes. They grew the church.
They grew the church.
They took the church to the streets.
Yes.
And let the light. Didn't Jesus say, don't hide the light
under
a bushel or a basket, but put it on a lampstand in the middle of town where someone is going to overdose and needs some darkness dispelled.
Yes.
You say, I thought church was just going and having a little religious service once a week, but it's learning how to love as Jesus did. Mm. It's a place where we can learn to let the light of Jesus shine through us.
Yeah.
We can also learn what it means to be a disciple. Remember Jesus said, go out and make disciples. Well, I've got several questions. First of all, what is a disciple? And secondly, how do you make one? But let's start with, what is a disciple? We want to talk about the church as a place where we learn to be disciples. What is a disciple? Anybody? What does the word mean? Do you know? Mathetes in the Greek, it means a learner.
Right.
Yeah.
Learn what? Well, I suppose you could have a disciple to a plumber.
Yeah.
Or a disciple to a seamstress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A disciple to a scientist of some kind. What is this talking about? Make disciples
of Christ.
Christ.
For Jesus. That's right. Yeah. Jesus called the 12 to be his disciples, and there were many others who were disciples, 120 in the upper room, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Men and women who were disciples of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So to be a learner of Jesus.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How do we make them? Sabina, how do we make them? That sounds kind of like something that we do.
Mm.
Can we make a disciple of Jesus?
Well, I believe that if we look to the Bible and see how is it that Jesus himself made disciples, just to begin with, and this was by asking people to follow him.
Okay.
So he was, obviously, he was God, and he was making disciples of himself. But as for us, we can ask people to be with us, and we can help them in what they are doing as we walk, as we go. And then we are going to point them to Jesus, because they are going to be disciples of Jesus and not of ourselves, even though we can reflect the light of Christ to them. But it's ultimately to help to lead them to Jesus.
A Bible text, and Shana, I'll come to your point. A Bible text flashed into my mind while Sabina was sharing that, where she said, we encourage them to follow. We're followers of Jesus, but we point them to Jesus to become a follower of Jesus. Yeah. It's in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. I hope, Jason, I have the right reference, because it just came into my mind here. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. But really, I suppose we do make disciples by pointing them to Jesus. Okay. We're not the disciple maker, really, are we? But we join Jesus in this work.
Yes.
How does Paul share that process in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1?
The New King James Version says this, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Yeah.
Follow me, some translations say.
I follow Christ.
Mine says, from the New International Version says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
All right. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want you to be a disciple of me, but you can follow, but let's then both follow Jesus together. Shana, you had an earlier comment.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in order to make disciples, you first have to be a disciple.
I felt you were going to say that, and that is so foundational. Back to what Sabina was saying. How can I say follow me
if I'm not convinced by the thing I'm teaching you?
And if I'm not following Jesus myself, I'm just going to be the blind. What did Jesus say? The blind
leading
the blind, and they both fall into a pit.
Then
I didn't do anything useful. So I need to learn from Jesus first. How do I learn from Jesus? Let's get practical. Church is a place, right? How do I learn from Jesus so that then I can invite someone else? Say, let's learn from Jesus together. How do I learn from Jesus? How do you learn from Jesus? I mean, Jesus ascended to heaven. He died, rose again, right? Victorious over the grave, ascended to heaven. And how do we learn from Jesus today, Samisa?
He left us His Holy Spirit, and He left us His Word, His love letter that He wrote to us, that we can all study together, and not only study it, but also apply it. One foundational thing that I learned from the church is to forgive, because people will hurt you in the church, and that's a community where you can actually learn.
Why would I want to go to church if people hurt me there? Why would people hurt me in the church?
The people.
Because we're all broken people, right? Learning to walk with Jesus. So sometimes we'll get hurt. Learning to forgive. All right. Someone else. The church. We're talking about the church, a place where we learn to be a disciple. Well, let's look at a passage that Jesus shares with His disciples in Matthew 10. Verses 5 through 8. Because back to something Shana said earlier from her trip to Boston, being a disciple is not, to quote the words, just trying to stay out of trouble till Jesus comes, right? I don't know what's going to happen to any of you, but I'm just trying to stay out of trouble till Jesus comes. And we're like, wait a minute, no. Jesus, if I'm going to follow Him, Shana, Sabina, what does Jesus say in Matthew 10, verses 5 through 8?
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it says, These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Freely you have received,
freely give.
Freely you've received from
Christ.
From Jesus,
God.
Right?
Jesus, from
God.
Yes.
So now go out and give. What you have received. By the way, some people say, why only to the lost sheep of Israel? Well, when he talks to, that's to the 12 disciples. Mm-hmm. Later to the 70, he said, go to every town and village, you know, and he'll then tell us Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, right?
Yes.
So starting there in Judea, but he's going to go to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
And he tells them, what is he asking them to do? Raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. What is he saying? You are what?
We're supposed to do what Jesus was
right.
doing.
Right. You are, if you will, an extension.
Exactly, an extension.
Of my ministry.
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We're joining together in this ministry, and that's something I want you to do.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? Joining Jesus in his ministry. What emotions come to your heart when you think about that, Sabina?
I feel privileged.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel very humbled and special at the same time that God would trust me with power from the Holy Spirit to do the works that he did. And even though feeling incapable and like, who am I, you know, to heal the sick, to raise people from the dead, to cast out demons, but through his name, by his power, he can use me, and that makes me feel very loved by him also.
I still remember a day I was in a church, a chapel actually. It was a prayer service in the middle of the week, and a young lady came in that Jesus was going to heal that night. What I struggle with is I know Jesus has a lot of faith, but my faith is not that strong.
Yeah.
So when we sense God calling us, by the way, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and I said, maybe we should invite her to an anointing service. The Spirit of God spoke to me clearly and said, I'm going to heal her tonight.
Wow.
Mm. So, Misa, I was praying for myself. God strengthened my faith. Do you know that that night, this young lady who'd been cutting herself and had been bulimic and dealing with all kinds of weight since she was a little girl, that Jesus healed her that night.
Amen. Wow.
By the power of his name.
Praise God.
Amen. But I think it is, it's joyful privilege, but it's also a humbling awareness that God is going to do something that without him would be absolutely impossible.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? But if I'm following him, he might ask me. To lay hands on that person in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
He may ask me to pray a bold prayer
like
Elijah when he stretched his body over a lifeless child and said, oh Lord, my God, let this child's breath return to him.
Right.
Wow.
How do we know when we're supposed to do that?
That
what's the answer?
You have to stay in touch with him.
You have to stay, and that's part of what church is for, isn't it?
Yes.
Staying connected to God, saying, God, Jesus, I'm your disciple.
Yes.
Yeah. Help me to listen carefully as you teach me and follow wherever you lead.
Yeah.
It's an incredible privilege, incredible responsibility.
Yes.
Is there anybody that has been an important example to you of a disciple? You say, you know, when I look at her, I see, I'm talking not just in the Bible now, but right now, I see someone who has learned to be a disciple of Jesus.
Hmm.
Anybody have someone that comes to your mind? You know, why would we hesitate? Because we've never seen someone, or because we don't want to bring too much attention to a person?
Hmm.
We want to give the glory to Jesus, but doesn't he have people that model that for us? Who comes to your mind? Hmm. Anybody? Sabina?
Yeah, I'm thinking about the wife of a pastor that I had in Brazil. Her name was Leila. She was an elder, a very sweet lady. And there was one time that she was powerfully, she spoke to me. I used to teach young children. And there was an event in which, you know, it was a sad situation in which a mom had brought the child. And unfortunately, the child was not supposed to be there. But I couldn't recognize it because there were so many kids with me. And in the following day, this lady called the wife of my pastor to complain about it, because I couldn't recognize that the child was not supposed to be there. And I didn't do that out of, you know, a mean attitude. I just couldn't remember it because, you know, I'm a human. But this lady, she was new in the church, and she was so upset, so very upset with me. And then the wife of the pastor called me, and she told me, Sabina, that's what's happening. I need you to call this lady, and you need to speak with her to say sorry. And be very humble and sweet with her. And that's what I did. And I learned from this lady, Leila, that I needed to be, even in a situation where I feel like there was some injustice, that I had to be humble and treat people with the humbleness that I wish they would treat me. So I'm grateful for this lady in my life.
Basically, Leila was encouraging you to reflect Jesus,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You've learned from him.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing when God may call us as a disciple to do something remarkable. I'm remembering Juanita Crutchmar, a wonderful woman of God. She was preaching in a location. Someone came up. She shared the story with me, had a sick child and said, "Will you pray for my child?" It was actually after the church service. They were about to eat a fellowship meal together. Mm-hmm. And Juanita prayed in the name of Jesus for the child, mm-hmm. burning up with a fever, mm-hmm. prayed in the name of Jesus, and the lady went away. When the meal was over, the lady came back. The child was completely healed.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And Juanita got a little bit, I wouldn't say frustrated with God, mm-hmm. but she had a question. She said, "God, why did you do that?" Mm-hmm. You know, we pray for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And we don't always see such miraculous changes. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, just do what I ask you to do. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Just follow me mm-hmm. as a disciple. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, as Leila was a disciple,
yes.
she said to you,
yeah.
follow me as I'm following Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
Powerful lessons. A church is a mm-hmm. place of learning. It's not just a religious duty once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
It's a place where we learn to love as Jesus loved, mm-hmm. where we learn to reflect the light of Jesus. We learn to be disciples, what that looks like. Mm-hmm. We also learn more of God's truth if we're in a church mm-hmm. that is teaching God's truth.
Yeah.
Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so part of what we are looking for when we're looking for a church as a place of learning mm-hmm. is a church that teaches from the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, there's a story in John chapter 3 about a religious leader who still had more to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of respect for Nicodemus.
Mm.
You could say he came by night. Well, he did, but he came.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Jason, the story, could you pick it up for us in a beautiful passage in John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot to learn. He had more to learn, let me say, about the Word of God, even though he already was well studied. And I think the church is a place of learning is saying, "God, I've learned a lot, but there's more you want to teach me of your Word."
Amen.
Let's pick up the story in verse 1 of John 3.
All right. I'm reading from the New King James Version, John chapter 3, verse 1 here, and
through verse 15.
All the way through verse 15. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus answered and said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven But he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven, and as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Mm. Now Moses, Nicodemus, I'm sure, had heard the story from the book of Numbers about the bronze serpent. Mm-hmm. Mm. Did he understand that that was pointing to what Messiah would do for us? Mm. He didn't understand that, mm-mm, did he?
No.
He did not understand what we talked about in a previous study, the prophecy in Isaiah 53, mm-hmm, that Jesus would be wounded for our transgressions.
Yes.
He had a different perception of Messiah. Yeah. So sometimes when we come to church, the church here was with Jesus personally, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
We learn insights. We read the scripture before, but we didn't really understand what the scripture was saying. There's another illustration in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus comes to Nazareth. There's a prophecy. Kim, maybe you could read it for us, starting in Luke 4, verse 16 through verse 23. There's a prophecy that Isaiah the prophet had written 700 years earlier, but they don't understand that it's actually coming to pass now. Now let's see what Jesus says.
Sure. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 23. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Mm-hmm. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'"
They're doubting. At first they go, "Wow, marvelous words, but wait a minute, he's just the carpenter's son, right? How can he be saying scripture's fulfilled?" So it's not always easy to gain a new insight from scripture, right? The Bible says his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Can you think of a time when you were in a church, place of learning, where the word of God was being shared and you gained a new insight that really challenged you, maybe to look at something you heard before differently? And that's what God desires, one of the things to happen in church. A time you just heard something. You shared in a previous study, Samiso, about the priest didn't examine the penitent sinner, but the Lamb.
Right.
And Jesus, of course, is the spotless Lamb. That was a powerful insight. A time when you learned something from the Word of God in church. Kim?
So growing up, I always thought I had to obey God or else he would punish me. I didn't understand the character of God correctly, but through a pastor and his sermons, he was able to show me that God is truly love. He loves me and I should obey him because I love him.
That's a breakthrough, right?
Yes.
Somebody else from the Word of God, Sabina.
I can think about the first time that I understood the meaning of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin from the world.
That was John the Baptist said that, right?
Exactly. Like, I grew up in a church where I would always hear people saying that, but I couldn't really understand it. And when I came to understand that as a teenager and I understood the plan of redemption, for me, it was just life-changing, right?
That Jesus came not to condemn you. Didn't it say that in John 3:17?
Yes.
But that the world through him, or that Sabina, Kim, Jason, Samisa, Shana, mm-hmm. all of our Hope Sabbath School members might be saved.
Yes.
So it's so important that in church we're not just going through religious rituals or ceremonies,
mm-hmm. yes.
yeah. but we're hearing the Word of God in a life-changing way. Yes. Anyone else? Jason, yes. have you ever had a time where you just heard a word and it was like, wow, the Word of God to me today?
Yeah, I was listening to a sermon and the pastor was talking about, you know, letting your light shine, and was sharing very practical ways, kind of like we discussed, about how we can make a difference. And I realized, you know, because I've always been, you know, I thought of myself a good Christian. I read my Bible, I pray, but it's not just about these individual things I do. It's also about sharing with other people. And it made me realize that I could be out in my community making a difference.
Mm. Or on Hope Sabbath School.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You're all volunteers. Yeah. Is anyone here paid to be here today? You say no. We're here because the Word of God has impacted our lives.
Amen.
Yes.
So true.
How could this awareness, learning to love as Jesus did at church, learning to reflect His light, learning to be a disciple, learning more of His Word, how could that revolutionize our attitude as we go to church to worship God in spirit and truth? If we think about church that way. Mm. Yes, Sabina.
I think you can go to church looking forward to learn something new from God. You know,
right.
ready to hear His voice, and it's not something boring that you're going to listen always the same things, that this Holy Spirit is ready to teach you something new that day. So this can change your attitude in going to church, just hoping to learn something new from who God is and who God wants you to be.
Maybe you're watching and you're saying, I think I better go back to church. Well, some of our churches are still closed. We can go on Zoom, perhaps. But when church opens, go with that attitude that the church is a place of learning, to learn more about loving as Jesus did, to learn more about reflecting His light, to learn more about His Word for us, and to learn what it means to be a disciple. You say, Pastor Derek, there's more to learn. And I agree. It is a journey with Jesus, our Savior, by our side. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for helping us to understand the church as a place of learning, not just a place to have religious rituals and ceremonies, a place to deepen our relationship with You. And I pray that as we go to church, we would discover what it means to worship You in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. We're talking about lessons for life. Education from the Bible. We've been challenged to look at church in a new way, and that is to go to learn, to draw closer to Jesus. I pray you'll do that and then go out and be a blessing to those around you.